Howdy, everybody, and welcome back to the Friday ReadAboutIt.com podcast. I'm Reed, and this is About It. Good Friday, good 4th of July to you. Please celebrate smart. Boy, there's no holiday that involves alcohol and gunpowder like the 4th of July, is it? You know, there's a lot of nine-fingered guys showing up for work on Monday around where I live. So celebrate smart. Please don't blow anything up that, you know, that's bigger than a doghouse, I guess would be the best way to put it. Because, you know, if I've had to have one of those awkward handshakes with somebody in East Texas once, I've had to do it 1,000 times. You know, where you go to, like George Carlin said, you go to shake their hand, there's not a whole hand there. You know, yeah, I've had to do those before after 4th of July. So please be careful if you're going to be going out there. And as always, this is one of those times where we have a holiday to celebrate something, and we really don't celebrate it. We just have a holiday. So I'm okay with that as long as we're going to be honest about it. Nothing wrong with being shallow as long as you're insightful about it. Anyway, fireworks displays to me, who cares? It's the kind of thing that it's okay. It was okay back in the days when, you know, we were still going to the bathroom outside. You know, look, we have mastered gunpowder and been able to write pretty things in the sky. You know, I picture the crowds watching fireworks and everybody's got like a bowler hat on, you know, and one of those funny Raleigh Fingers mustaches. You know, it's kind of way back in the day. But now, let's face it, you can get a pretty good fireworks display on your screensaver. It's not that big of a deal anymore to do something like this. We can actually write words in the sky if we have to. Just a little flashing light. Yeah. It's fun for about 8 seconds to me. It's not worth parking for, is really my thing. So I might be a bit of a killjoy, but please do enjoy the holidays. A couple of things today, one of which is that we talk a lot about currently. Oprah talks a lot about it. By we, I mean Oprah, because Oprah is her own continent at this point. She's kind of famous. She's talking about The Secret and all these things. And I had a great idea the other day. The whole concept of The Secret is whatever you focus on and visualize, that will happen. And I'm not sure if too many folks out there believe it or not. The book is selling an awful lot. So I was thinking that if we all got together en masse as a country and all of us visualized dollar a gallon gas, if by sheer force of will we could get it there. I started to think about that, and then I realized, well, okay, if we were to do that, then Dick Cheney would probably get together and visualize $10 a gallon gas, and he'd still beat us, because Dick Cheney has a big old celestial dong, is what I'm saying, and we don't want to mess with him. So, you know, maybe next year, sometime around there, we can work back on this. A few other things to pass along. Entertainment Weekly's done their list of the top 100 billion new things, basically, the new classics. Because I've talked about this before, in our society, we don't have the attention span to focus on anything that didn't just happen. You know, anything that happened pre-MTV never existed, basically. And really, that arbitrary distinction is moving forward every time I turn around. But they have released what they consider the best of the last 25 years. And as always, there's good, there's bad. Office Space on the movies comes in higher than The Departed. I love Office Space, don't get me wrong, but it was a Dilbert cartoon. I'm just throwing things out there. The one that really got to me, and I will date myself, which I did a lot of back in high school here, their albums. They had a couple of U2 albums in the top 100, as I think they should, and they had Achtung Baby, I believe it was number 3 overall. Then The Joshua Tree was number 63. And as I have said in this space before, I consider The Joshua Tree the best album ever, top to bottom. And I'll tell you why I say that here in a little while. I'll explain my criteria for it. But 63, the album had like 11 number one hits. The album was number one for 9 years. The album, everybody had a couple of copies of that album. If you were in college, you had 3 or 4. You had one in every vehicle you're going to be traveling in. There are some albums that were ranked ahead of it, and I don't understand any of those, so I thought I would throw a few of them out and thoroughly piss people off that had those albums. Joshua Tree, 63. Right in front of it is Radiohead, OK Computer, at 62. This album is widely thought of as one of the greatest albums of the 90s by the 12 critics who loved it. I can't name a single song off of it. Hell, I bought a radio album, Radiohead album rather, in protest back when In Rainbows came out. I can't remember any of the songs on that either. This is one of those that I don't know if the critical impact catches up to the pop culture impact, but that's better than the Joshua Tree. Number 60, Pavement, Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain. The Tree was number one for 9 weeks. This Pavement album barely went vinyl. And I remember the people who listened to Pavement. I was there in the early 90s, I believe, when this came out. Again, how much airplay is this getting right now? Number 58, Surfer Rosa by the Pixies. I am the only person in the world, and I'll freely admit this, that doesn't get the Pixies. I just don't get them. I don't know what it is. They just do not click with me. I'll give you a mulligan on that because everybody else I know loves the Pixies. At number 41, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Legend. I've said it before, I'll say it again. This is the only reggae album that has ever been known to exist. Everyone has this album. What's the second biggest reggae album? The other Bob Marley album? No. The Harder They Come by Jimmy Cliff? I know somebody who's got that. That's the only other reggae album I've ever seen purchased. If you're into reggae, you have Legend, and that's probably where the collection stops. Number 27. Here's a good example of what I mean, and then I'll go away on this one. Arcade Fire, Funeral. I know in this society we're all wrapped up in whatever we just experienced, like in the last 15 minutes, as being the best of all time, but come on. The Tree owned the charts. The Joshua Tree was number one. It changed the way we look at things. It had a slew of imitators. And then U2, of course, took that hard right turn right into Achtung Baby and left everybody in the dust. That was when the career, you know, hit the quarter pole, I guess. But Arcade Fire? That album was out like 15 minutes ago. And another 15 minutes from now, will people still remember Arcade Fire? I don't even know who they are. Are they? Was it the Arcade Fire with the Snow Patrol came after that Panic at the Disco exploded, and then there was the big fire in the arcade next door, and then the Snow Patrol dragged the Fall Out Boys out of the wreckage? Is that what it was? I'm getting old, and I'm attempting to do it in a humorous manner. I apologize for that in advance, but anyway, The Tree, got to be higher, got to be much, much higher on the list. Rush Limbaugh made $400 million before we turned around. Is he worth it? Yes. And I don't like Rush Limbaugh. I will go further than that. I've worked at radio stations that aired Rush Limbaugh, and I couldn't even listen to it then. I was a promotions director at a station, and I couldn't even listen to the show. It's not necessarily a political thing, although I don't agree with any of his stuff, and I don't even find him political. Because to be political, you have to think about things, and he doesn't. But he is propping up terrestrial radio right now. I mean, let's face it, Stern's gone. The entire talk radio industry is built around Rush Limbaugh. Is it a good thing? No, but it's still going. And if Rush Limbaugh were to just take all that to XM or Sirius, that's probably the only other thing other than Stern that could seriously harm what's left of terrestrial radio. So $400 million is probably not worth it, but you also couldn't afford to lose him. So he will continue to piss people off for another 4 years. All right, one last thing before I go. The Christy Brinkley divorce. The Uptown Girl gets unhitched. Yes, you have to be following this, just if you're a fan of celebrity train wrecks. The husband had $3,000 a month in internet porn bills. He was paying off the 18-year-old babysitter. Let me just sum things up for you very quickly. Women, men are stupid. See, it doesn't. We don't have to sit down and have one of these discussions. Is it me? Is it me? It's never you. It's always us. We're almost always idiots. Christy Brinkley is still very beautiful and probably has a couple of bucks saved away from a long career, and that's not enough for whoever this guy is. $3,000 a month in internet porn. Man, I don't know if you need to check into a 12-step program or a carpal tunnel syndrome place, or I don't know. That signifies something, and I'm afraid to ask what it is. But $3,000, that's you might want to check into one of those 12-step programs, or I don't know, just maybe have the power turned off at your house. That might be probably the best way to do that. Remember, it's not always something easy to figure out. Halle Berry's been cheated on and divorced, what, twice? So, men, stupid. Write it down if you have to. That is going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Thanks for listening to us, folks. Happy 4th of July to you. Again, good luck in keeping all of your fingers I will be indoors. Fireworks to me, not a big deal. So we will be back, and by we, of course, I mean me, next Friday with more. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Reed, and as always, Seacrest out. As our station owner, Jerry Hansen, has always been, I've worked off and on for Jerry since I was, it's more than half.